Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter number 18. 2 Samuel chapter number 18. You find that place, you're able, let's stand together and you pray for us this morning. The Lord would help us. I really want to have a touch of God while we preach. And I want to say what needs to be said, and I want God to help us to say it. And I really do want the Lord's help. And I can't stress that to you enough. If there's one thing I do know, it's that you cannot stand in flesh and do any sort of eternal work. It'll have to be the Holy Ghost of God that helps us. And we want the Lord to do that. So we'll start reading 2 Samuel chapter number 18. I'm going to pick up at the end of the story, and after we pray, you pray for us, and we'll try to catch everybody up on where it's at and try to preach the message. Bible says this in 1 Samuel chapter number 18, verse number 29. It says, "And the king," that's speaking about David, "he said, 'He has the young man Absalom safe.' And Ahimaaz answered, he said, 'When Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult,' he said, 'but I knew not what it was.' And the king said unto him, 'Turn aside,' he said, 'and stand here.' And he turned aside and he stood still. Behold, Cushai came, and Cushai said, 'Tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee.' And the king said unto Cushai, 'Is the young man Absalom safe?' And Cushai answered, he said, 'The enemies of my lord the king, and all that rise up against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is.' And king was much moved, and he went up to the chamber over the gate, and he wept, and he went as he went, and he said, 'Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom.' He said, 'Would God I had died for thee, oh Absalom, my son, my son.'" Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you tonight. And God, I'm so thankful for what we feel in our heart. I pray, Lord, we need liberty to preach this morning. And God, we need your help to do it. Father, if there'll be any preaching that'll be done, God, you will be the one that has to do it. And I'm very well aware of that. I'd ask you for a few minutes of time. God, you'd help us to be sober-minded in the house of God. I pray, Lord, that you'd help the target to be aimed for. God, I pray that it would be hit. I pray, God, you'd open up our hearts. I pray that you'd give us ears to hear. I pray, God, in heaven today, and God, that you'd move on our church, and God, help us to be everything you'd have us to be. And God, I pray this morning, if there be somebody in our midst that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, they do not know you, Lord, and the free pardon of sin, I pray that this would be the day, that today would be the hour, that they would do that. Father, I understand today that there are an open door before us, and there's many adversaries. But thank God, Lord, I'm glad. And God, that no doubt, the same as the Apostle Paul, God, I'm glad the Lord will stand with us and strengthen us, and by us the preaching might be fully known. I pray, help us now, Lord, we beg. Ask you all these favors in Christ's name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I'd say this to you. What you come when you find this passage of Scripture, and so you're looking at the end, a result of what sin has brought. Let me say this to you, friend. David was not thinking about this day whenever he stayed at home one day and he was looking over on a roof where he should not have been looking. He was not thinking about this day whenever he took another man's wife and brought her unto his bedchamber. He was not thinking about this day, friend, whenever he sent Uriah, the Hittite, to the forefront of the battle. Oh, listen, let me remind you today, the Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. Amen. There's nothing, thank God, that'll be hid, and they shall not be revealed. David wasn't thinking about this day, but old Nathan the prophet came to him. You remember the story, Nathan the prophet came
to it. He gave him a little. A parable, if you will. And when he finished the parable, he said, "Thou art the man." I'd say this to you, friend. Oh, listen. David was given a warning by Nathan. He said, "Because of your sin," he said, "now he's put it away, and thank God for it." He said, "But the sword shall not depart from your house." And my friend, listen. Everybody in here, understand. I'm glad there's forginess of sin. Somebody ought to, you ought to shout a little bit right there. I mean, thank God, friend. I'm glad that we can come down. I'm glad we can get help. I'm glad there's forgiveness. But thank God, listen. Forgiveness does not necessarily erase the consequence. Amen. And so you find here that we've come to the end. And David has experienced an awful lot of trouble, an awful lot of turmoil, an awful lot of trials. And now here's his son Absalom. And now Absalom tried to steal the kingdom, and he did for a moment. But oh, friend, listen. And now you find this place where the armies of God have went after Absalom. And David gave a request. He said, "Now listen." He said, "When you start to get to my boy, and when you get to old Absalom," he said, "I want you to be real kind with him." He said, "Don't hurt him or nothing like that." And we find Joab finds him. And old Joab takes 3 darts. And he says, "This is the end of Absalom." And the news comes back to David. I'm sure that his mind goes back, Brother Crabtree, to when he chose to do that sin to start with. And the chickens have came home to roost. Hey, it's time to pay for it. But oh, listen. He asked a question here. And this is the question. And the news comes back to it. And this is the message I want to preach. He asked a question about his boy Absalom. Watch your Bibles with me, if you will. In there in the next to the last verse. He says, "And the king said unto Cushi, is the young man Absalom?" He said, "Is he safe?" He said, "I want to know, is my boy safe?" Amen. If God help me for just a few minutes of time. And now listen, I'm preaching to everybody, but I want to preach particularly to the folks that's got youngins at home, and the youngins that's in the house that you have, and the babies that's sitting next to you on the right side and on the left side. And listen, I'm going to preach to everybody, but I'm preaching to you mainly. Amen. And make no mistake, you say, "Brother Kevin, he was aiming that at me." I am aiming it at you. Amen. And make no mistake about it. I thank God you are the target. Amen. I thank God. Amen. And so I say this. He asked a question. He said, "Is my son Absalom saved?" And I thought about this, Tanner. That is the right question. But he asked it at the wrong time. Amen. And listen, it's too late. Amen. He asked and wanted to know if he was saved after he had already drawn his last breath. It was way too late to find out if he was safe then. If the Lord help us today, I'd like to preach on 4 or 5 things that you need to find out if your kids are safe. Amen. If they're safe. Amen. I want you to watch with me, first of all, in chapter 13. I watch what the Bible says over there. I want to say this, friend. The first thing you got to figure out is, are they safe? Are they safe in their feelings? Amen. And watch your Bibles in chapter 13, verse number 22. He said, "Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon." He said, "Because he had forced his sister Tamar." And the Bible said, "And it came to pass after 2 full years. I'll say this to you, friend. I'm just about grown. I mean, I'm just, I'm not known. I mean, I'm just at a point where it grieves me every day. I was reading this the other day, and it was talking about how many youngins commit suicide every day in our nation. I mean, not just folks outside of church, but it's the second leading cause of death. I thought one thing we need to figure figure out. We need to ask the question now before we get too far down the road, as we need to figure out, are they safe in their feelings? Amen. And now listen, Absalom, he had to deal with some pain. He had to deal with some hurt. He had a brother that raped his sister. And now listen, I don't know how else to say it. I forced her, the Bible said. He had to deal with some hurt, and he had to deal with some pain. And you know what? He didn't know how to deal with it. And I've been thinking about this, and we've got an entire generation of youngins that's coming up. And Brother Scotty, there's hurt all around them, and more so than there's ever been. And they don't know how to deal with it. And they're killing themselves at an alarming rate. And their moms and dads are just sitting back and waiting till it's too late. And they say, I wonder if they're safe. Amen. I'll tell you this, thank God. Don't wait till we have to carry a coffin in here to figure out, is your youngin' safe? Amen. Oh, yes, listen to me. I want you to understand, thank God. Hey, you say, well, I don't like to talk about stuff with them. Thank God, grow up, y'all not had kids, amen. Somebody look at me right there. Smile at me on that one, amen. Thank God, listen. I'm not my kid's best friend, amen. I don't know where we got that at. We don't listen, thank God. I'm not called to be best friends. I'm their daddy, amen. Thank God, thank God. I'm not supposed to be. We're not homeboys, amen. We're not on Snapchat together. We're not none of that. But I do talk to them. I say, now listen, thank God. And when it comes to how you feel here, and when it comes to this pain, when it comes to this hurt, what are you going to do with it, amen? I find this for 2 years. And David knew how his son was hurt. And for 2 years, he didn't make not one word. That's recorded in the scripture. I didn't even find out how he felt about it. I thought about this. I want you to listen to me. If you see your kids are hurt and they're dealing with some stuff right here, thank God, don't just ignore that thing. That hurt will turn to anger, and anger will turn to bitterness. And before very long, it'll consume their lives. Amen. We've got youngins in our midst already. I mean, listen, thank God. You ain't got to be 17 years old. Hey, listen, to go through some life. I'm going to say this. You better keep your finger on the heartbeat of their feelings to find out if they're safe. Amen. Don't wait till it's too late. I thought about this, and I know this. Listen, I'm well aware the longer this message goes, the quieter it's going to get in here. And that makes me know, that doesn't bother me not one bit. I know what the Holy Ghost put in my heart, and I'm going to preach every bit of it. I want you to hear me. If Brother Doug, if I could talk, and if I've had one conversation more than I've had any other conversation with folks ever since I've been preaching, Brother Jones, it's this. I want to know how come. I mean, why is my kid going astray? Help me pray for my wayward son. Help me pray for my wayward daughter. And listen, thank God we will pray. And there are some folks, and they've done all they know to do. And despite everything they know to do, and their youngins still went after the world. But that's not the normal. By far what I find in the house of God is we want to give them over to MTV. And we want to give them over to the world. And we want to give them over to everything else. And then whenever they turn and they turn far left, they say, oh preacher, help us. Hey, listen, you done asked the question at the wrong time. Amen. 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 I ought to get a little more help sometimes. I'm saying this. He knew that Absalom was hurt. He knew that Absalom had anger. He knew that there was a rage building. And for 2 years, despite how much I love David, for 2 years, he never did ask the question that he ought to ask. He ought to came up to him and said, son, I know you're dealing with some things. I know that what happened is terrible and it hurts, but I need to know how you're feeling. And we can't help what they've done over there. I know it's awful, but it didn't have nothing to do with God. I need to make sure that your heart is still going after the Lord. I'm going to say this, friend. We need to make sure. I can't help that hell's all around, folk. I can't help that bad things happen. But I'm sure glad when I come to the house of God, I've got a place that I can run to, that I can tell them there's a place, thank God, where you can bring your cares and cast them on the Lord. Amen. Oh, yes.
David said, is my son Absalom safe? Right question, wrong time. Number one, is his feeling safe? And again, I know this is going to go downhill. Some of y'all that's all right with that, you just pray for me. And this may be a two-tripper for some folks. This may be your first and last trip. But you're going to hear truth while you're here, all right? I'm going to say this. Not only do you need to ask about their feelings, but old David would have came out miles ahead if he'd have been asking about their friends. Come on, help me right there. You find over there, Noah. We find that Absalom had some friends. Had one friend in particular, a guy named Jonadab. And it just so happened, I got to thinking about this, and I'm not going to try to make nobody too uncomfortable, but Jonadab was cousins. And I got to thinking about in my life about some of the worst things that I ever seen or experienced, and it came from my cousins, amen. And now listen, I love them. You know why that is? Because your mom and dad feel safe with your cousins, amen. But listen, there's images in my mind and things in my heart how that's put there because of my cousins, amen. And I love them, thank God. I don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but I'm going to say this. I saw a parent one time, and they said, well, you know, you can't pick your kids' friends. I said, thank God, do what now? Has somebody run that and buy me one more time? Has somebody help me on that one? And I'll tell you this, thank God, I ain't invested my life. I have to let some jaybird, thank God, come start rubbing off. I get to thinking about the friends that I had. And I'm going to say this, friend, and don't nobody get too nervous. You are who you hang around with. Amen. Yes, sir. Thank God. Folks, I don't got no Christian friend. I may not have no Christian character. Amen. You are what you hang around with. I'll guarantee that's right. I never have. Thank God. Listen, I mean, you just stay tuned. You won't see gazelles and lions running together. Amen. Hey, you know why? And they've got different natures, and they're contrary one to another. If we get enough heaven on the inside of our children, we won't have to worry about the hell that's around them. Listen, he never did ask about his friends. He didn't care about who he was running around with. He said, right here, you're running around with a wicked man. And it didn't seem to bother him. And boy, and I got thinking about it in our life. How many of our youngins coming in? And I've watched them. I mean, I've watched it. I've watched it happen. Man, they're right here, Nate. Listen, some of y'all got little ones. Little Wally, little Leah. Some of these babies, little Coleman, run around this place. And you watch them, and man, they start off. And they get up here, and they're singing in the choir. And tears are streaming down their face. Brother IPOC, their hands is up in the air. And they're singing about how good it is to be saved, how good God is, how good the Lord's been to them. And then they check into their middle school and they check into their high school. And before very long, they get befriended by somebody. And instead of a mom and dad being a mom and dad, you know, and they're saying, no, listen, there's a difference between the holy and the profane, and between what's right and what's wrong. And instead of doing that, we don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. And so we just let it. And then when they start running around with drug addicts, and don't be surprised when they are one. Amen. And the lesson, thank God. God. And when they start running around with thieves, and don't be surprised. You understand, every thief had to be taught how to steal. Somebody had to show them how to use drugs, amen. And they didn't learn how to heat up a spoon, how to draw up a needle, and how to put it in their arm. And somebody showed them that, amen. And make real sure you ask about their friends now before it's too late. Amen. Right question, wrong time. Listen, you know what the Bible says about old Jonadab? It said he was a subtle man. In other words, he would have probably fit in a crowd this morning. He was subtle. Oh, yes. I find that Ahimelech, he had friends that were vain and light. But then I got to thinking about some boys I want my boys to run around with. Some friends I want my friends to have. Amen. What about Caleb and Joshua? I'd sure like for them to have some friends that say, yes, we can, when everybody else says, no, we can't. Amen. Amen. I like for them to have friends like them four Hebrew boys. And when everybody else says it's time to bow down and it's time to eat, they say we ain't doing that, amen. I'm simply saying this, thank God. Now listen, don't wait till it's too late to ask the right question. He done waited till he was dead before he said, is he safe? Is he safe? I want to say this to you. Everybody listen to me. I know. Say, preacher, I know. I want y'all to listen to me real good. Don't wait till it's too late. Then we find that old Absalom comes up, and after 2 full years, gets Amnon down there. Boy, and he exacts his revenge on him. He's been planning it for 2 years. Been playing it with his buddies. Look here. Hey, Brother Hatch, Philip didn't just turn. I'm talking about, he didn't just turn. Absalom didn't just turn. Oh, well, he'd been holding this in his heart for 2 years. Ain't nobody asked about it. Ain't nobody cared about it. Look here, you don't reckon old David said, David knew something was up when he said, I want all my brothers to come down there with me. And David said, why do you want them? You know why he said that? He knew what was in his heart. And he said, listen, he said, Daddy, I just want to sacrifice with them. I just want to go down there and be with them. And then they got down there and he killed them. And you know what we find that happened with Absalom? As soon as he killed them, he took off and he fled to another country and he went out of the way. Let me say this. Don't wait till it's too late to ask about your kids' failures. Amen. And now listen to me, friend. Everybody in this room, as I was talking to my boys just the other night, nobody's batting 1,000, all right? Hey, listen, thank God. And there's things that our boys and our young ladies have looked at and we wish to God they hadn't have. There's things they've said we wish they wouldn't have said. But I'm going to tell you this, nobody asked. Absalom, are you safe now that you failed? You know what I found? It's amazing to me. We spend all this time investing in folks. Investing. And then the second they mess up, it's just... as if we ain't all messed up. Cohen, you know what the difference is? You know why we do that? Because here's the reality. Nobody knows about where we mess up. And as long as we can keep that thing hidden, it makes me feel real good to kick somebody else while they're down. Now listen, this is not, I'm not looking up here, neighbor. I'm not preaching about licentiousness or lasciviousness. We're not talking about having a license to sin and going out. I'm talking about when somebody does mess up. Boy, it'd be real good for them to know how to get back. Y'all think that's right? I mean, somebody does come in the house of God and they have messed up and they have looked at what they ought not and they have done things and they have went the wrong way and they have been a part of the wrong crowd and they have went down to the jailhouse. It'd be real, real good for somebody to care enough and to say, then, are you safe? Amen. Do you know how to get back right with God? Do you know how to get back in fellowship? Instead, we don't say nothing. We talk about them. We say, y'all remember? We get news that they died. Brother Creston will say, man, I remember when they was doing good.
Right.
Well, what happened to all the Christians who cared whenever they messed up?
Right.
Where'd everybody go? Where'd everybody go? Don't get nervous right there. Thank God that ain't a place to be nervous. But where'd everybody go when somebody messed up? I want my boys to know there's a real good chance. Now, I'm not advocating them going falling off into sin. Hope the Holy Ghost keeps them. I'm going to tell you this, however close you live to the Lord, you're going to let the Lord down. Now, how do you get back? I would to God that somebody would tell all of our kids that what the Bible says, that where the law entered, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Boy, I wish to God somebody teach our youngins 1 John 2:1. And if any man sin, And if any man sin, and he said, these things I write unto you that you sin not, that you sin not, that you sin not. He said, and if any man sin, we have an advocate. Hey, thank God, with the Father, and Jesus Christ the right. Hey, listen, I would to God that somebody would teach them about Psalms 51 and say, listen, it's one thing to mess up, but you can repent and get right with God. Amen. You ain't been so far that God can't bring you right back in. And I'm afraid in our day, we've got so many youngins that feel like once they've messed up, that's it. They're done. Let's just take a poll right here. How many of y'all still, you know, you're still rolling on the first night you got saved? You ain't sinned in 42 years or however long you've been saved. You ain't had to repent one time since then. Y'all doing okay right there? Is that everybody in here is doing real good? No, see, what happens is we all know we mess up. And then you hold this pressure on top of you youngins, and as soon as they do, they feel like everybody who's for them's really against them.
You're right.
That's right.
That's the wrong question. The right question, just the wrong time.
Right. Yep.
I'm going to say this to you. Now, this is, we're doing good. We're running well right here. I'm going to say this, Cameron. You know what else they did? What he should have found out about? He should have found out about his focus.
Yeah.
Oh, Absalom was focused on the wrong things. Absalom, he was focused on his long hair. He was focused on his beauty. There was treachery in his heart. There was lies on his lips. His eyes were set on the throne of his father. His attention was no longer after God. His attention was after the world. Hey, listen to me. I'm going to say this to you. Some folks wait entirely too long before they find out what their kids are really focused on. I'm forever thankful. Listen, I've wrestled a little bit. I know how folks feel about some of this stuff. Now, I want you to understand it doesn't make no difference to me. Y'all hear what I'm telling you today? We wait entirely too long till their focus is all about soccer, basketball, football, hey, baseball, swimming, rodeo, four-wheeling. Hey, listen, deers, turkeys, lakes and oceans, malls and gossip, Facebook and Snapchat. And when their attention's all on those things, and that's all it is, and nobody never says nothing, and they make shipwreck, then we say, what happened? Too late. You done waited too long. Hey, listen. Don't wait. Where's Jordan Potter? He's standing out there. Callie, I'm preaching to you. Jordan ain't in here.
Bless.
Don't wait till Harley and Hazley. Don't. You see them and they're right here and they're interested in playing the pen and serving God.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they start turning this way. Don't let them keep turning that way before you ask the question.
Amen. Good. Real good.
Don't let them keep going that way. By the time you get there, my boys are sitting here, and I ain't a very good driver, and any of you that know me know that's right. Me and my boys was driving down the road the other day. Davis will attest to this. I just slammed on the brakes in the middle of the road. There's a big oak tree right there. And I said, son, I said, you fellas see that tree? Big one, wasn't it, bub? I said, what happens if we crash this car into that tree? What happens? The answer was, we all die. And I said, that tree won't move not one millimeter. Not one. That thing's done been in the ground too long. It's done grow too straight. Been left alone too long. And now it's too strong for you to move that tree. There ain't nothing left to do but cut that tree down. And then over right in front of that tree, there was a sapling. It's about this big. I said, son, I go take that with just one hand and move that thing however I want to. My intentions this morning, don't let your kids get to where they're already stiffened up, hardened up, and immovable before you start asking tough questions about their friends, about their failures, about where they've messed up, about where their focus is at. Don't wait till the world's in their heart before you start finding out why. Don't wait. David asked the right question at the wrong time. Now, I'm afraid even sitting in our house today. Listen, I love, anybody that knows me knows this. I love playing games as much as anybody. That's all me and my boys do. We play every kind of game that there is. But we don't play those games when it's time to be in the house of God.
Amen.
And listen, I'm not trying to be holier than thou.
Preach, brother.
I'm not trying to act like I'm somebody.
Go ahead.
Y'all, see, everybody's got the wrong idea about that, Brother Nathaniel. Whenever I say that stuff, Tanner, it's not because I think I'm better than anybody. It's because they got the same flesh that I got.
Amen.
And I know this. The same traps that almost got me, I'm going to do my dead level best to make sure that it don't get them.
Amen.
And for the life of me, I don't understand why we're pushing our kids into some traps.
Amen.
And then as soon as they get caught,
yep.
we say, I don't understand how they got there.
Yeah.
They didn't get there on their own, neighbor.
Yeah.
Last thing, I'm done. Some of you wish this would have happened 3 points ago, but I'm still preaching.
Go ahead.
I want y'all to listen to me.
Yep.
Y'all listen. Please listen real good. Don't wait until it's too late to ask about their future.
Right.
That's right.
Absolutely. I don't understand this for the life of me, John. I've tried. I've tried to understand this, and I don't. Some things are just too high for me. But I've tried to understand in my own heart. If he knew what Joab would do, Kelly, he knew he'd kill him. He
right.
knew he would, Brother
right.
Creston. He knew
right.
he would.
Right.
And if David was that concerned, why wasn't he out there?
Yeah.
Brother Josh,
yep.
why was he not out there? Mm-hmm. He said, I know what's going to happen if they get my boy.
Mm-hmm.
I know what they'll do. They'll kill him. There was a very real enemy that was after the boy.
Right.
And instead of going after him, protecting him, David sat on the throne,
yeah.
not a bit concerned about his future.
Uh-oh.
Not a bit concerned about it. Then he waited until he was dead. I've stayed, listen, God help us. I've preached many of funerals, youngins, and they come by, and they all weep and cry. They'll ask the question, was they saved? Was they saved? Too late. Listen, look here. I ain't trying to be hard. I'm being honest with you. If you wait till they're laid in the casket to find out whether they're saved or not, it's too late. It doesn't matter what the answer is. At that time, it's too late. And these folks in this room, and I'll tell you this, if we was really concerned, if we really understood the enemy that's after our youngins, we wouldn't wait till it'd be too late to ask that question. We'd be on our face before God trying to do everything we can. Protect them from the enemy. I've got some folks in here, listen, I'm going to be, I want you, don't throw things at me. I'm just, then there's folks in here and you're already in that trap. Y'all listen to me? You are Absalom. Your focus is not right. Your friends ain't right. The failures are everywhere. Your future's looking. You come in the house of God and you say, all right, preacher, that's who I am. I am Absalom. I'm in the shape I'm in because of decisions and things like that all around me. Now what? Oh, that's the good news. Now what? Oh, now what? I'm glad there is one that's still on the throne, thank God. I'm glad that you can open up your Bible to Luke 15 and you can find the prodigal when he got tired of being down with the swine and he got tired of trying to fill his belly with the husk and he got tired of being a citizen with another country. He finally came to himself and he said, I believe I'll go back. And when he got back, he found his father was waiting. Amen. But oh, listen, don't wait. I preach to you the best I know how. And I understand there's a pulse in the church and there's blood pressure that's went up this morning.
Right.
I understand, but I'm going to ask you this. The only reason I say what I say, Holly, I'd sure hate 20 years from now you to come in and say, preacher, what are we going to do about my girls? You'd hate that too, wouldn't you? And so the best thing we can do is ask the tough questions now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
before we get there. I've cleared my heart. Stand to your feet. Feel like the Lord said, done. Like the Lord said, done. You say, preacher, what about my kids? They're not here this morning. They are out in that thing. Well, I'll tell you what you ought to do. You ought to get on your face before God. Start calling out to God on their behalf. Honey, play.